going to read the scripture portion. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, I noticed some of you in your talk. Brother Gautam, when are we going to get to Genesis 22, the redemptive part? When are we going to go to the typology? I noticed some of our conversations were directed in that way. I ask you to wait for one more week. We are going to look at how Genesis 22 points to the cross of Christ, God willing, next week. So please be patient for one more week. We will get there. I want to read Genesis 22. I was told by the Korean service member, he doesn't walk in, but he walked in today, and he told me, whoever is preaching, can you please tell him he has to finish off by 1:05. I said, I'll make sure. But I don't know. Let us read Genesis 22. I'm going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time. I'm going to read until verse 19. For the sake of time, I'm going to read, so please follow me as I read the scriptures. After these things, God tested Abram and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place from far afar. Then Abram said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abram built the altar and there laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abram reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we do worship you. We do praise you. We thank you for this time, Lord, for bringing us under the instruction of your word. Father, we thank you for Genesis 22. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the richness of this chapter. Lord, as we are meditating what faith is, we pray for your help upon this time. Father, we are in a world which is so confused. We are in a church, we are in an age where the church is confused. And only, Lord, there is a remnant that are preserved by your grace. So we pray, God, that you would keep us in that remnant, and you would help us to understand what true faith is, and help us, O God, by your Spirit, by your truth, establish us in that truth. Please give us this genuine biblical faith. Father, help me as I minister thy word unto thy children. I pray, God, that you would give me the needed wisdom. I pray for your children, that you would give them attentiveness, caution, Lord, and help them to receive that which you have for them. I pray for your blessing upon this time. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. We are considering Genesis 22, and for the last 2 weeks, I have been addressing what is genuine faith. What is faith according to the Bible? What we have in Genesis 22 is one of the grandest chapters in the Old Testament. Apart from Isaiah 53, I do not think any other passage would come as close as the best passages in the Old Testament. So we have here the greatest chapter, one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament. At this point, we are looking at it not from a redemptive standpoint, but we are looking at it from a different standpoint. We are looking at it, we are posing this question, what is faith? And we are answering that question, what is biblical faith? Using Genesis 22 as the model, as the template for us. At the end of the chapter, you see God saying these words, I will surely, this is in verse 17, I will surely bless you. And he goes on to say, what is the reason I'm going to bless you? Because you have obeyed my voice. Here we see God commending, approving Abraham for his faith. You and I, if we want this approval, this commendation from God, we must copy Abraham. We must learn certain principles from this chapter. And if we can glean these principles from this chapter and apply it to our lives, we too, like Abraham, can receive approval from God. We can receive this commendation, which is well done, good and faithful servant. And that must be the desire of every child of God. The first principle we learn from this incident in Genesis 22 is faith is discerning the voice of God. Faith is able, being in a position to discriminate the voice of God. Abram here is tested. He is given a specific command. In verse 2 we read, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Abram, as he received this command, could have neglected the voice of God. Satan surely would have come to him and said, like he said to Eve, has God really said this? Satan would have tempted him in ways so that he may disobey the command of God. But what we see is Abraham recognizing the command that came in verse 2 is the voice of God. And so the first principle, if we are to please God, is this. We, as the children of God, must be in a position to discern the voice of God, to recognize the voice of God. I believe with all of my heart, our biggest problem is this. Our biggest problem is we cannot, most Christians are in, the, I say this with humility, I'm not trying to be judgmental. Most Christians cannot distinguish what is the voice of God and what is the voice of the devil. Just because a man comes saying he's a pastor and he holds the Bible, most Christians blindly take his words and they believe it is true, and there is great spiritual loss if we are in that state. One of the growing signs of a Christian, of Christian maturity, is that you will be able to recognize whether a particular person who is preaching from the Word of God, or is he giving his own philosophy. As the children of God, we must be in this position. We must know the truth so that when someone says something, you may be able to distinguish, this is not from the Word of God. This is not the voice of God. And this is not true. Our problems are, we are so spiritually immature, so any man says anything, we blindly take it. One of the greatest problems I sense in the little 10 years I've been a Christian is most of our theology is derived from songs. Most of our theology comes from the songs people, the famous songs that people sing. Very unfortunate. Our theology, our understanding about God, our understanding of God must come from the Word of God. I cannot emphasize this enough. We must be in a position to discern the voice of God. The most people, I would say, are guilty of fanaticism. You remember in the first century, Jews were listening to the Lord Jesus, the best teacher, the very Word of God incarnate. God was in the midst of them. God was speaking to them. Unfortunately, they couldn't hear the voice of God. And all the time they were thinking they had faith. And that is true, as much as it is true of first century Jews, I believe it is true of 21st century, many people sitting in the churches. This is a serious thing. We must build our foundation on the Word of God and thus be able to discern which is the Word of God, which is the voice of God, and which is the voice of the devil. Abraham was able to see that this voice, this command he received in verse 2, is from God. As a result of that, the other things follow. If he had neglected this as not the voice of God, we would not have Genesis 22. The first principle, Christian brothers and sisters, we must be established in the truth as the truth is in Jesus. And therefore, we must be able to discern the voice of God. Secondly, the second principle in this chapter we need to learn is this. Faith is the right use of reason. Abraham used reason, but he made right use of reason. If you remember, all the while since Genesis 12 till this chapter, whatever God told him, God's plans, God's purposes, God's promises are centered around this son called Isaac. God told him, I'll make a great nation through Isaac. God told him, I will bring a great salvation through Isaac. All the nations of the earth will be blessed because of the seed that is coming through Isaac. In other words, the Lord Jesus is coming through Isaac. Isaac is the chosen one. He is the child of promise. Very emphatic all till Genesis 21. And in Genesis 22, there is this command that shatters and contradicts all the promises. God says, take this son whom I made all the promises. Go offer him on the Mount of Moriah as a burnt offering. Now, for any reasonable person, these are contradictions. The promises and the command is a contradiction. But Abram realized, this is God's command, this is God's voice. I cannot figure out how God is going to reconcile these two things. My mind is limited, my reason is limited. But I know this for sure, God has commanded this, therefore I will obey it. I can't reason it out, but I will obey God's command. Brothers and sisters, reason is given by God. This intellectual ability is given by God. When God made us in his image, one of the things he does to us is he gives us this ability to reason, to think. But reason must never be exalted above God's word and God's revelation. We must reason from the scriptures and not with the scriptures. There's a difference between both of them. Reasoning from the scriptures is this. This is God's word. This is perfect. It is given by a perfect God. There is no fault in this. Therefore, I will build my life, my foundation on this word, and I will reason from it. Reasoning with scriptures is very different. When you reason with scriptures, what you are saying is, you and God are at the same level, and you are treating God as a colleague. You are debating with God. In other words, you are saying, I'm equal to God. You have this pride in your heart, and you are saying, I'm equal with God. That sort of attitude is wrong. We are mere creatures. We are made of clay. We are made of dust. God, his throne is in the heavens. Earth is his footstool. There is no equality between God and man. God is the creator. We are the creature. God is infinite. We are finite. So always our approach to scripture should be, I humble myself. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We don't reason with scriptures. The minute we say we are going to reason with scriptures, we are in the wrong place. Pharaoh, in Exodus 5:2, he built his life on a wrong foundation. He built his life in polytheism. Moses goes to him. Moses says, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may worship me. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I may obey him? Who is this God that I may obey him? I have so many gods. He builds his life on this faulty foundation of the Egyptian myths, Egyptian ideas of God. And when the living God, the true God, comes to him, when this revelation of God comes to him through Moses, he says, who is this God that I must obey him? And when that happened, God sends these 10 plagues, judging his gods, judging the gods of Egypt. God sends this judgment, taking away his own son, Pharaoh's own son. God drowns this army of Pharaoh, all his power gone in a night. Why? Because he reasoned from a faulty foundation. If only he could understand, this is God Almighty, this is the Lord Jehovah, the God of Israel, he is the one true living God. If only he realized that, and when Moses came and told him, let my people go that they may worship me, he would not have seen that disaster. People who reason with scripture, who build their lives on the wrong foundation and reason with scripture, instead of submitting to scripture, they put themselves at the equal place and judge scripture. judge the word of God. They are exalting their reason above scripture or equal to scripture. If that sort of attitude is present in anybody, there is only one outcome. That is a heart of pride. God resists the proud. He only gives grace to the humble. When we come to scripture, our attitude must be this. Humility, total surrender. We take off the sandals, we take off the shoes of our heart. We say, speak Lord, I am dust. Speak Lord, your servant is listening. And there are many examples in scripture where people exalted their reason above scripture. You take the Sadducees. Sadducees argued, like many of the 21st century people, if God is a loving God, how can there be a hell? There is no resurrection, the Sadducees said, even though the Old Testament is replete, is full of passages about hell and heaven. The Sadducees would argue, there is no hell, there is no heaven. They tried to trick the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, you are in error because you know not the scriptures, not the power of God. Pharisees, another group, exalting their reason above revelation. They had some preconceived notions. They had an idea of a Messiah according to their preconceived notions. And when God incarnate, when the Lord Jesus was speaking, they could not hear the voice of God. They expected the Messiah to be a political deliverer. They did not see him as God in the flesh. And so the Lord was trying to show from Psalm 110 that the Messiah is God. They would not talk to him. They would shut themselves off from the Lord Jesus. If only they humbled themselves under scripture, they have given up their preconceived notions, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have recognized when God was in their midst, they would have recognized this is God incarnate. They would have bowed their knees before him. But because they exalted their reason, their preconceived notions above scripture, instead of accepting the Messiah, what did they do? They crucified the Lord of glory. What a terrible thing. And God's judgment comes on them in 70 AD. So, again, faith is putting our reason submissive to scripture. Never exalt our reason. The third thing I want to point out, which is very elementary, which is very basic, but the reason I bring it out, because I see so many people in error. This should be very straightforward, but I don't know why so many Christians are not able to discern this. Faith is trust in God as revealed in the Bible. Faith is trust in God as revealed in the Bible. This is so elementary. This is so foundational. But so many people are misguided right here at this very foundation. In this incident in Genesis 22, Abraham, when he starts off his journey towards Moriah, he travels 2 days. He comes the third day to a place in verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Notice the words. And the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. You realize what Abram is doing. He knows he is going to offer his son. But even before he offered his son, he has this trust this belief in God, this confidence in God. And he says, I and the boy will return. Not just I will return. I and the boy will return. Why was Abraham so confident that the boy and he would be returning? The answer is because Abraham believed God for who he is. He did not have an idol. He did not have an imaginary God. He knew God as revealed in the Bible. Therefore, he was confident ahead of time that he and his son would return from Mount of Moriah. What did he know about this God? He knew that this God is the God of truth, El-Emath. He knew this God would never violate his word. He knew this God would always keep his word. How did he know it? He knew it from his own experience. You remember when God called Abram, Abram had moments where he lost his faith. He stumbled with respect to his faith. You remember in Genesis 12, when he goes to Canaan, there was a famine. In order to escape the famine, he goes to Egypt. In Egypt, his life is exposed to danger. What does he do? He, in his own cunningness, says, this woman, Sarah, is my sister. In other words, because he lied, the Pharaoh takes his wife. In other words, he stood in the way of God to fulfill God's promises in his life. His sin stood in the way of God for God to fulfill God's purposes for his life. When he sinned against God, what did God do? Did God leave him to his sin? No, he didn't. The God of truth was faithful, and God preserved Sarah and brought Sarah back to him. The same thing is repeated again. We read that in Genesis 20, in the incident with Abimelech. Again, Abraham, through his sin, through his cunningness, standing in the way of God to prevent God from fulfilling God's promises for his life. What does God do? Does God leave Abraham to his sin? No. God protects Sarah. God restores Sarah to him. Now, the God who did this much, will he now break the promise? Will he now take Isaac from him? Not possible. God is a God of truth. He will keep his word. He knew this God would keep his word. Therefore, he was confident ahead of time that God would restore his son, and he and his son would come back to this place again. Biblical faith is a trust in God because of who God is. It is not because of we imagine certain things and that is faith. No. Biblical faith arises out of an understanding of God's character. The modern tragedy is this. You switch on any television. Typically, before 5 minutes, you would see a preacher saying this. You must have faith in your words. Your words will create your reality. Your words have power. And many Christians think that is biblical faith. Far from the truth. Faith always has at its object God. God is the center of faith. An understanding of God is the reason for faith. Take the modern evangelist on the TV. Who is the object of his faith? His words. What he is going to say. His positive thinking. That is not biblical faith. That has nothing to do with biblical faith. This is so elementary, but I see so many people falling into trap and going in this wrong route thinking that that is faith. Faith always arises out of an understanding of the person of God and his attributes. Take your natural life. Someone is buying a house. What do you look for when you are buying a house? You look for a realtor who has a good track record and who can help you in the process of buying a house. In other words, you put your faith in this person who has a good track record to buy you a house. Faith is always placed outside of ourselves. It is placed in an external person. Biblical faith, likewise, is placed in God. Because we know who God is, therefore we trust him. Because we understand an attribute of God, a characteristic of God, therefore we trust him. Without this understanding of God, we cannot have faith. Abraham knew this God is a God of truth. He will keep his promises. He is faithful God. Therefore, he was able to see that God was somehow going to restore his son. Biblical faith is based in the trust of God, his character. Not only Abraham knew that this God was a God of truth, but this God is a God of power. You remember in Genesis 17, when God revealed himself to Abraham, by what name did God reveal himself to Abraham? This is the title that God uses for himself. In verse 1, Abraham, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. There is nothing too hard for me. Nothing is impossible to me. I am the Creator God. Not only did he understood this, but he experienced God in this sense in his own life. You remember, he was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. They were both past childbearing. Sarah's womb as good as dead. But what was Abraham's reason? Abraham's reason, we read in Romans 4. Abraham's reason against all hope, he believed in God. What was his belief? His belief was this. I'm reading from verse 17. God can give life to the dead. God can, out of deadness, God can bring life. In other words, God is a God of resurrection. Nothing is impossible to God. God called this whole universe into existence by the power of his word. So mighty was this God. And so he reasoned, even if I offer my son on Mount Moriah, on this mountain, God had the power to raise him up from the dead. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews 11, 17. I'm going to read until verse 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Verse 19. He considered, alternate translation, he reasoned that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, that he did receive him back. Abraham was confident that he was going to come back with his son, because he knew this God of power who could raise his son up from the dead. His confidence was based on the knowledge of God. His confidence was not based on positive thinking. His confidence was not based on, I'll create my own reality. I speak words. No. His confidence was based in the character of God, his faith and trust in God. Biblical faith is based on an understanding of God, and therefore we trust him. Abraham trusted in the God of truth, in the God of power, and therefore he was confident that he was going to come back with his son. Not only that, Abraham trusted in this God who is a provider. He trusted in the provision of God. After speaking to the servants, this is what Abraham does, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they went, both of them together. In other words, the wood for the burnt offering was put on Isaac. He took the knife on one hand, he took the fire on one hand. Isaac, probably 20 years old, was able to recognize there was no lamb. There was no lamb for the burnt offering. And so out of curiosity, Isaac asked the question, "Father, behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. I just read verse 8. God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Abraham knew this God who provides for his people. He understood this. And that was his basis, this confidence that he would return with his son. And sure enough, when he goes onto the mountain, he gets the altar ready. He places the wood. He's about to slay his son. And he hears this voice from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And he stops the execution. He receives this commendation from God. "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Verse 12, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son." Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." In other words, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided." The God of the Bible, when you come into his house, he provides for his people. He provides for all their needs. The greatest need is this spiritual need, man's spiritual need. Man is separated from God. Man is in sin. The God of the Bible plans for this sinner to be restored to himself. If God was willing, God was planning to give his own son, why will God take his son? Abraham could reason it out. Abraham could see this God is a God of goodness. He's a providing God. Somehow God will make a way that his son would not be taken away from him, but his son would be restored back to him. Because he knew God so intimately, he could put his faith in God. And that is exactly what we see. God provides for the lamb, for the burnt offering. And we know this chapter is prophetic, which we will be looking at next week. As we close, let me ask this question. What is your faith based on? Is your faith based on television evangelists? Or is your faith based on a knowledge, an understanding of the character of God? Do you know this God as the God of truth? Do you know this God as the God of power? Do you know this God as a providing God who provides for all your needs? You know, if you know that, just like Abraham, when the severest test comes to you, you would not be anxious. You would not be restless. Rather, you would put your confidence in God and you would move on to do the will of God. You have this unknown rest, this unknown peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guiding you, helping you in the severest times of your life. Faith is not calmness after the storm. Faith is calmness in the midst of the storm. When everything is going against you, you're saying, like Job, though you slay me, yet I will trust in you. Though my wife is taken away, though my children are taken away, though my wealth is taken away, yet though you slay me, I will trust you. That is biblical faith, and it comes because of an understanding of God and his attributes and his character. Is this the kind of faith that you have? Do you know God? Do you understand God? Or is your understanding of God based on televangelists? Dear brothers and sisters, I cannot exhort you enough. This is our foundation. If you build your life on this foundation, you are stable. When the storm comes, when you are in jail like Paul, you would say, I've learned to be content. I know what it is to be rich. I know what it is to be lacking. But I've learned to be content. I have this peace of God that surpasseth all understanding. I know whom I have believed. He will guard until that day that which I have entrusted to him. This would be your confidence in the midst of all the troubles of life. There is this peace. There is this unknown joy. You can weather the storm. There will not be this fear. You only have faith. God will somehow take care of it. Is this the kind of faith you have? Faith is trusting in God for who God is. It is based on the knowledge of God as revealed in the scriptures, not according to our imaginations or not according to some televangelist. May the Lord give us grace that we may have a knowledge of God intimately. Therefore, we have this trust and faith in God. May the Lord give us grace. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, we do not know you. Lord, we are dependent on the songs of the culture. We are dependent on television for a knowledge of you. Please forgive us, Lord. Help us to come back to the source, the root, the foundation, your word, for a knowledge of you. And because of that deep knowledge, help us to put our faith in you. Lord, increase our faith. Faith comes from the hearing of the word of God. So we pray, God, that you would open up the scriptures to us. Every time we read the Bible, you would open up the scriptures to us. Lord, help us to trust you completely. Please give us grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. In him, you've given us this access. Lord, help us to build our lives on the Lord Jesus and help us to trust in him completely for our salvation. Give us a true understanding of biblical faith and establish us in the biblical faith. We ask for your grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.